Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes changing up your makeup look for fall. From lashes for days with the viral Liquid Lash Extension Mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple just-gotta-get-out-the-door routine or fall glam that wows from the office to all your favorite fall festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics.com/cozy.
All right. Anyways, thank you both for joining. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
I want to just start with the basics. When I first started in real estate, the very first clients that I met, they were like, oh, we're investors. Okay, great. So I call my coach. I'm like, hey, I met some investor clients and I want to make sure that I serve them best. What do I need to do? They said, first, find out what their portfolio looks like. So I asked them that question. The very first thing that said, we're first-time investors.
Okay.
Okay. And I found out, hey, guess what? This is the first time that I'm working with an investor client, but it's also their first time investors. They had no idea what they were doing. No idea. So I want to just talk to all of those clients for a second. What would you say it would be the most important thing with all of your years of experiences for first-time investors?
You want to start with the lending side or the real estate side?
I want to start with the personal side.
Personal side.
What advice would you give a buddy of yours that said, hey, I'm looking to invest?
You ready to take a risk?
Okay.
It always is.
Yeah. Okay. How about you?
You got to be passionate about it. Like, you got to be ready to actually get into the nitty gritty and actually be okay with the scenario of real estate. Like, if that's not okay, then
right,
none of that actually makes sense.
Right. You have to be ready to take the risk and you have to be passionate about it.
Absolutely.
So are you really ready to go?
100%.
A lot of people think that they're ready to go. They feel like, hey, I've got it together. I've saved up a little bit of cash. I'm ready to go ahead and invest. And it doesn't always pan out the way they say see it. So bringing it around to the real estate side, now what would you say?
I would say this goes hand in hand with lending too, but probably have more money than you think that you'll need, right? So if you think that you need 50, maybe you want to have 60.
Okay.
Or maybe even a little bit more. Be ready for that.
Yeah.
Be ready for the unexpected. And be ready to get in touch with people who have done it before.
Right.
Whether it's a friend who worked with an agent, who worked with whatever, worked with a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Know what you're getting into with somebody that has been vetted. Somebody
gotcha.
That has been vetted by somebody that you know, like, and trust.
Okay.
Right?
When you say been vetted, what does that mean?
That could be an agent that you see is working great with your friend that gets them a lot of deals. Or that could be somebody that has a good track record of selling a lot of investment properties. Or it could be a contractor that you know that has worked with a buddy of yours that has gotten things done on time, on budget, on point, and things have gone well in the past for them. Use other people's past experiences and working with people to grow your network. That's going to help you out tremendously.
Yeah. I imagine that could lead to you feeling very lost because, as we well know, if I ask you for advice and then I ask you for advice and then I ask, you know, anybody else, I ask you for advice, however it goes, what happens is sometimes you give me advice, but maybe your advice contradicts yours and yours contradicts theirs. And it turns into one of those things where now I don't know what to go with. At that point, would you say go with your gut?
I would say maybe don't take advice from anybody who's not in a position that you want to be in. Right?
Okay.
So ask somebody
Fair
who's
enough.
Already there.
Yeah.
And then ask them what they would do.
Yeah.
Give them your situation, whatever they tell you. As long as you trust them, go for it.
Okay. And then from your perspective, same questions.
Yeah, so kind of just piggybacking off of what Austin said, to kind of have to create that team right from the get, right? You need your go-to realtor. You need your go-to contractor, lender, property manager. You kind of need to have all of that stuff together and ready to go before you're ready to make that jump into investing.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is that if you're not like all the way there, like you're not 100% into doing something like this, you're gonna fail. Like that's primary number one.
Okay.
Kind of the same thing that he was saying too, you need to have money, but also money is easy to find, right? The deal will, aid where the money is coming from.
Gotcha. We need to be friends if money is
100%. So what I was taught, at least from an early perspective of lending from my boss and other like real estate professionals, is right. if the deal is good, the money is very easy to find.
I understood.
So.
Okay. That only makes me think about this. You guys would make a dynamic duo as far as me. Like, let's say I wanted to go ahead and invest. Let's say I have a client that says, hey, I want to go ahead and invest. I'd hand them to you. Hey, go ahead and these are the guys that you want to talk to. But what does that process look like?
Awesome. All right. So we've done this so many times over the past couple of years.
Okay.
Basically what happens is if you pass them off to me, I would talk to them. What do you guys want to do? Do you guys want to flip? Do you want to look for multifamily? Do you want to look for long-term rentals? Mm-hmm. Things like that. I would ask them those questions up front. And most of the time, they want to do whatever makes money.
Right.
Which we kind of understand that. So that's where I have to get them talking to Dominic and figure out what they're actually working with to see what they can actually do. If they don't have flipping experience, I wouldn't want to throw them into the fire with that.
Okay.
Because if they don't know a contractor, if they don't have experience even working on little projects, that could wreck them from the beginning. And you don't want to do that to somebody. So you want to have an idea of what somebody wants to do. And if they say they want to get into real estate investing, even if they say they want flips or this or that, and they don't have experience with flips, 9 times out of 10, they actually want cash flow. So I'd point them in that direction. And then that's where they get talking to Dominic. How much money do you have to work with, right? And then what's your FICO? Things like that. And that's where we can kind of determine whether or not they're actually ready to go.
Yeah.
So then we kind of get into like the nitty gritty of like the actual process, running the numbers, making sure that the deal itself makes sense, because sometimes it doesn't, right? So at least from a scenario there where we kind of pass clients back and forth to one another, you know, we'll have, you know, some people call into the office and say, hey, I'm interested in, you know, investing in Burlington County. You know, like, can you recommend me a good agent, a good title company? Perfect. Here's Austin's cell phone number. Give him a call, you know, kind of get the rundown of everything and kind of see if it's a good fit. Then we'll kind of do like a back and forth where, okay, do you want to do like a buy and hold? If you want to do a buy and hold, great. We're going to do what's called a DSCR loan. If you want to do a fix and flip, then perfect. We're going to do, you know, a small bridge loan with a renovation budget. Hopefully the intention is to hold on to these properties long term and you can continue that cash flow process. So at least from a, you know, teamwork perspective, I think we close, what, maybe 10, 15 deals a year together, I'd say, maybe even more than that.
Probably more.
Yeah. So I think at least our clients generally understand what kind of comes about of identifying a property, talking to Austin, talking to me, and then kind of just getting to the finish line after that.
Understood. You know what's really popular now is that the Burr strategy.
Yeah,
it's super popular. I think it's popular mainly because the name is so catchy, but whatever. It's popular right now. And because it's popular, everyone thinks, hey, I'm going to go ahead and get into this. I'm going to watch these YouTube videos. I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to find out all of this information. ChatGPT is going to give me all the research that I need. I'm going to dive in. Sounds great, right?
100%.
Yeah, it does sound great until you're actually in the middle. You're under contract on a property. And it's go time. So from that point of them saying, hey, yeah, found the house. This is what I want to do. What's the process and what should they watch out for? What are the common mistakes that are made that they should really watch out for?
We're running your numbers up front, right? We're going to run your numbers up front and we're going to figure out what the strategy is to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So while I'm sending them properties, they'll send them back to me. I'll give them the numbers. Once they see the numbers and they determine if they want to go see it, I'll go out and show it to them. And then I'll pass them off to Dominic and Dominic will strategize with them. What are you guys working with? And here's your term sheet and everything. I'll kind of let you take the...
Yeah, at least from a BRRRR like perspective, right? You know, and if people don't know what that acronym stands for, it's buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat. Now, some people do, you know, the buy, renovate, and then they just flip the property and they kind of just go on their merry way, right? Other people tend to hold on to these properties as, you know, long-term cash flowing properties and build their portfolio that way. From a scenario like that, what you're typically looking at, and at least from a general perspective or general numbers sake, is you want to make sure that your ARV is going to line up with what you're putting into the property. So him and I probably have this conversation maybe like once every week. What you're looking for is if an agent gives you, you know, a projected value of, hey, this is what I think the property is going to be worth after the renovations are done. General rule of thumb would be to do 70% of that number and subtract whatever your expected renovation costs would be. Now, this is hard too, because you kind of have to have some sort of semblance of real estate investing or have an idea of what things cost in order to fix, in order to get that number kind of down pat. But if you do have that number down pat, you can work yourself backwards to know how much you can actually, you know, purchase the property for with, you know, making an investment like down the line with whatever strategy you choose, whether it's a flip or it's a refi.
Right. Okay. That only brings this to mind. Everything that you said makes sense. But are you going to be there when the deal is over?
I always am. And that's one thing that I pride myself on, is if somebody needs me, you know, I'm picking up the phone. And it could be 8 o'clock at night and, you know, I'm still picking up the phone. The deal isn't done until, you know, the exit happens. And also, because we're in such a client and customer and like we're in that driven business where people are relationship oriented, they're going to come back to you if they have a good experience. And they're also going to refer their friends to you for having a good experience from their, you know, perspective, right? So that stuff is really important. And I think you and I have this conversation regularly that there are lenders out there, just from the lending perspective, that, you know, they don't pick up the phone. They don't, you know, they don't send an email. You know, we're having a problem right now with our own client that, you know, we want to send him in one direction and, you know, the lender doesn't want to, you know, answer the phone. So, you know, there are things like that where, you know, those things do come up.
Right, right. In those type of situations, it's probably the most stressful thing, because most people, especially first-time home, like investors, if you are a first-time investor, you have either saved your 401k or you have saved money to plan to make this move. Like, you've got a lot riding on this. You've put a lot of thought into this, a lot of energy into. You didn't just stumble up on the, you know, on the money to do it. Or maybe you did, but either way, this is, you got one shot. You know, like you're sitting right there on 8 Mile. You got one shot. You have to make it happen, and you want to make sure that you have the right team, but it doesn't always happen that way. We run across it all the time. You run into these properties where it's like you went into them and you have this property where it's like they started the job. Remember we just saw a property. You walk down the stairs, right? And this is crazy. You walk down the stairs in the property, and the way that the stairs are built, it's like you walk down and then around, but they built a bathroom and the doorway is right here where the stairs go right by it.
Yeah, where the landing is. You open the door, the landing's like right in the middle.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's like it was a mistake, obviously. And it's something that it can be fixed, but those type of mistakes, they cost money.
Right.
And the more of them you have in one place, the more money you're just bleeding out. You're just expelling money consistently, and it turns into now you can't afford to make the decision or make the move that you're trying to make. So do you go as deep as to helping them to make the decisions when it comes to that, or who do they need to talk to?
They really need to talk to a contractor, but they also have to be passionate. Mm-hmm. That property that we're talking about with the stairway in front of the bathroom,
right?
They could have avoided a lot of that if they were more invested, not money-wise, but time-wise and personally invested-wise.
Like involved.
If they were more involved.
Yeah.
If they paid more attention, if they hired better people and didn't just try to go and get the cheapest guy that was going to do really bad work for them.
Right.
Things like that. That's really where you spend a lot of money.
Yeah. Because the person that's going to save you money is not always going to be the best person.
Correct.
Most of the time, you're going to spend more money that way.
Exactly. Exactly. So you want the job done right. A contractor is important. When you have the right contractor, do you feel like that saves you a lot of mistakes?
Absolutely. They can guide you.
And a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay. If you can't tell, I'm planning. You guys are going to be like elevated to like hero status in my life lessons journal. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to take everything we say here. I'm going to rewatch this whole video. I'm going to go back through and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I promise you, as it works out, everybody whoever listens to this is going to be able to find the blueprint.
And can I tell you too, I think the one thing that I was taught when I first started this is to ask questions, right? You're not going to know all the answers to anything. you kind of need to surround yourself with people that may know a little bit more than you or right. a little bit smarter than you. Asking those questions and gathering all of that information is only going to help you in the long run.
Yeah. Every question that I've ever asked, even if it was the same question again or a question that just it seemed like it was out of nowhere, has always led me to a better place 100%. Every single time. And I find that a lot of people are nervous about asking questions because they don't want to come off like they don't know anything out of fear of being taken advantage of, really. Because sometimes when a person knows that you don't know, they'll just tell you anything, or at least that's the fear. The fear is like, I'm going to be taken advantage of because I don't know what I'm doing already. Or this person is going to look at me and they're not going to take me as seriously as I want to be taken in this moment. Mm-hmm. So they won't ask those questions. But those questions are literally going to give you the answers that you need to be the most effective.
Absolutely. And if you think somebody's giving you the wrong answer, ask somebody else.
Yeah.
Don't confuse yourself, but maybe get a second opinion.
Yeah. Second and third opinions, it doesn't matter if you're going to the doctor or anything. I believe in that. You just have to. You have to. You never know. You never know.
Necessity.
Yeah, it definitely is. So I just want to hear from you guys at this point. Dominic, tell me more about what you do and, how you best serve the clients that you serve.
Yeah. Kind of just going off of what we were talking about before, I'm a little bit more relationship oriented. If somebody has a question, even if they're not bringing me a deal, hey, can you run some general numbers for this? Hey, can you tell me if this is a good purchase price or if I need to come in higher or lower in order to make the deal work? I think that's where I'm most successful. Obviously, the analytical side is most important in like this numbers-driven, industry that we're in as well. Everything has to make sense for you to do it, right? If you're not getting it for the right price, if your renovation budget is too high, if it doesn't appraise for what it needs to appraise for on the back end, like that stuff is very, very important, right? But also having, somebody in your corner that's going to come back to you and say, I'm here to help in whatever capacity you need. Like that's also, kind of key, at least for us, right? From, the burr.com team. I've only been doing this for 3 years. I've definitely, got a lot of growth and knowledge just from, doing this. And it's something that I want to jump into, myself down the line. I just purchased my primary, so I'm kind of getting my feet wet just from that perspective of an added bill every month that I wasn't getting when I was living with my folks at home. I think that people kind of need to have that experience of owning a home and trying to like get into real estate first before they really like jump into the investment aspect of it.
Why do you say that?
So you need to know like what your responsibilities are. And as a landlord, you tend to not know what you're getting into if you've never owned a house before. Because the numbers on paper are the numbers, right? But you have other costs that are associated with doing things, right? Let's say your tenant breaks the stove, right? You got to go out and spend $750 on a new stove. Now you got to, your cash flow went from $1,000 to $250 because you needed to spend that money, somewhere else.
Right.
Same thing for managing a property too. You have to understand like the bills need to be paid on time too, especially if you have a mortgage, right? Got to keep everything organized on that perspective. So I think kind of just jumping into, real estate from like maybe a primary perspective. And also, if you wanted to get into like multifamily, like if you wanted to purchase a duplex on an FHA loan or something like that, live on one side and rent out the other, I think that's also a great idea.
That seems to be the best idea.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
For me, at least in my area, I live in Toms River, so it's very hard to find a duplex if it's not, let's say like $1 million in Seaside Heights. But, if you guys live like in Burlington County where you can like go to Millville or go to, Cumberland County in some capacity and just say, hey, I want to purchase this property. I'm going to live on one side. I'm going to rent out the other. You get that cash flow, from that other side that's being rented on a monthly basis. And then you also have your own little space too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's benefits to everything, at least in that capacity.
What's the biggest benefit that you can point out that a new investor would be able to capitalize on? Obviously, they don't know anything. They're going into it, you know, with all of their dreams, all of their hopes and everything else. But what is the best benefit to being a new investor?
Yeah, you're taking that first step to financial freedom, because what the intention is, at least with investing in real estate, is that you're going to transition from your current 9-to-5 and this is going to be your new norm, right? With, you know, growing your portfolio and making sure that you're getting more properties under your belt. I think that's the biggest benefit, is like kind of understanding that your life is going to transition. It's going to transition for the better as long as you're making the right decisions and surrounding yourself with the best people.
Yeah. That actually just hit me. Crazy. Because that is so important. So important. And everybody's trying to make those type of decisions to get themselves to a certain point. You know, for me, it was a lot of fear. I didn't want to take a leap, make this step, and not and to miss the mark, essentially. I didn't want to miss the mark, and I didn't know what my thing was. I didn't have a specific passion to say, this is exactly what I want to do. But when I tie that to investing and I say, hey, you know, let's say one of my clients is like, I want to invest in this. I want to build this and I want to make this the dream. I can see their passion, but I can also see their fears. And I can also walk with them on that journey to say, OK, here's what you want to make sure that you avoid. Here's what you want to go through. But I know that the way that I serve my clients best is I listen to the things that they don't say. That's just, it's just how I work. For some reason, I don't know what you want to call it, but I can feel your energy. I understand where you're coming from. If I can relate to you, if I can't relate to you, then I just help you, of course, by what you do say. But there's a lot of clients that I run into where we're having a conversation and I can tell they're trembling. I can tell they're not certain. So I just address the certainty or the uncertainty. You know, I address those different things. The best way that I can put it is that is so important, especially today. One income source is not enough.
No.
Not enough.
Not at all.
You can't live like that. You can exist that way, but you can't really live a life. You're not going to be able to take the vacations to go to raise your kids and actually be prepared for their college and whatever else they want to do, you know, with the rest of their life, to buy a home, to have a second. You're not going to be able to do those things unless you have more than one stream of income. But
absolutely.
Rentals, it provides a societal change that I'm not sure I love. And I just have to be honest with you guys.
Not sure you love because why?
The only reason is because I want everybody to win. I do. I want everybody to win. I want everybody to succeed. I want the best for everybody. And ideally, like, I would want everybody to own their own home, to own their own property. Some people, they're okay renting. But the more people that invest in properties, the more I see that there are rental homes. And now there are certain people that they will never own a property. They will always rent. They will go from one home to the next, to the next, to the next. I did that a little bit growing up until, like, my family, my parents, they bought their first home. It was a brand new construction home. It was a complete dynamic shift to the way that our life went, because we did that. We moved from one place to the next, to the next, to the next. We didn't have the same friends for more than 2 years. And then all of a sudden we had stability. And there's nothing better than that. Because it allowed you to kind of formulate it allows your kids to formulate their identity. Because now you've got this friend you've had for 6 years, and this, you know, yeah. there's certain things that it's just irreplaceable. So I want people to be homeowners for that reason. That's the only reason. But aside from that, it's like, I also want people to win and be able to, you know, create generational wealth. I mean, how about you? What do you think?
There's also a need for it. There's always going to be a need for rentals.
Yeah.
There's going to be, so the middle class is, you know, fading out, right?
Right.
The upper class is buying the places. A lot of the times the lower class, they're on Section 8. That's actually a lot of the clients that we work with, the renters, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we work with people that are on Section 8 where their rent is subsidized by the government, sometimes 100% of the rent.
Yeah.
They don't have the money for a monthly payment. They don't have the money for a down payment. They have to remain as renters, and those are typically the people that we provide rental housing for.
Yeah.
So for them, it does help, and there will always be a need for that.
Yeah. And that also brings up to my mind some of the dangers and some of the reasons why it is good from an investment standpoint for someone to rent to somebody that has some type of a voucher, some type of a subsidy or assistance as far as the rent. The safety in that is that they know that the rent will be covered. But immediately what comes to my mind is like that client that took a chance on a tenant and that tenant didn't pay the rent, got evicted, left them completely screwed, and this was their only option. This was maybe their first one, their second one. They didn't get a chance to create that momentum to where they are all good. They're just doing this, you know, as they're just getting started. Do they come back to you? Is that what happens? No, they come back around to you and they're like...
It's the risk of being a landlord. And yeah. That's kind of what they know that they're signing up for when they purchase these properties. You have to properly vet these tenants. And I know some things, you know, definitely do come up. It does seem like the landlord is last on the list when it comes to paying things, right? You know, it's the car bill, it's the groceries, it's school, it's after school activities. And then it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I missed my rent. Like... It is what you signed up for, though, as a landlord. You have to, and that's why, at least from a lending perspective, we always make sure that you have at least 6 months worth of payments in your accounts in some capacity. So it could be like a 401k, it could be in a HELOC, could be in like personal or savings accounts. It's really just for that fallback option, and you know, in the God forbid scenario that hey, you know, my tenant isn't paying and they're on month three, like I still need to pay the bank. Otherwise, the bank is going to come after me. But again, that's the same scenario as, you know, as a landlord, that's what you signed up for. It's kind of that, I don't want to call it an expectation, but it almost is like an expectation that, you know, something bad could happen.
And you do see that where people, they you know, they end up with a house under foreclosure and they got a tenant in there.
So I'll give you a quick example. Yeah. So every month our note buyer comes out with a list of people that haven't made their payments on time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't want to be on the list because the list is bad.
Yeah, you have a name for the list?
It's called the early payment default list. But okay, it's the bad list.
All right.
We have somebody that has a portfolio of 60 properties, and he missed his payment on all 60 of his properties come June. Paid on June 30th, even though his payment was due on June 1st. Wow. And now July 1, he's behind again. So these things do happen that you strap yourself too thin when it comes to money, and then all of a sudden all the bills are due, and it's like, oh, crap. Like, what am I going to do? I need to pay the bills, otherwise the bank is going to come in and say, hey, my house now.
And that's the last thing that you want.
No, 100%. That's the last thing that you 100%. Want.
100%. In order to avoid that, obviously finding the right team is important. We talked about that earlier. But aside from finding the right team, aside from making sure that you are passionate, you have a plan, you're ready to go, how would you equip, let's say you had a mutual client, how would you equip them best?
All right. So after they close on their property, we need to get them a tenant yesterday.
Okay.
As quickly as possible, and not just anybody. We want to vet somebody. What's their whole story? What's their situation? What are they working with? What's their finances? What's their sources of income?
Right.
Whether that be Section 8, working a job, working at three jobs, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We want to vet these people. And then what's the rest of the story? Who else is living with them?
Mm-hmm.
We check every adult, everybody above the age of 18 that's going to be living there.
Okay.
We check the background screening. So that's going to be credit, income, rental history, and eviction history. There's other people in the property that have a history of eviction. A lot of the times it could be a little more risky. We want to avoid those people that have an eviction. Sometimes a client will go for them and make an exception, but you really want to make sure that you have the right person that's going to be living in your house,
right?
So we try to equip them that way. And also, it's up to them, but they need to get their property up to a rentable standard after they close on it, not just slapping paint on it and doing this and doing that, making sure that, okay, if you replace the toilet, did you also replace the wax seal? Otherwise, that's going to leak in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. That way, you're not getting the calls. And then these little problems, like a wax seal is maybe $15. But if you don't fix it, that could turn into $500 or $5,000 in damage.
Right.
So little things like this, you need to make sure that you're doing these things the right way.
Yeah.
You you really just want to give them this advice, because after you close on it, you're not going to be there telling them, hey, get the property renovated this way. You're not making their decisions. You're not controlling their money or controlling whatever renovations they make.
Yeah.
That's between them and the contractor if they decide to use one. But you can give them recommendations. Hey, if you do something, do it the right way the first time. Spend the right amount of money up front. Don't cut corners. Make sure that this place is going to last.
Makes sense.
So when you do that, you pad them from a lot of those damages. If they call you, hey, you know, my tenant hasn't paid rent in a month, you need to start your eviction right now. We're going to give them that advice. You want to give people a shot, but if people aren't paying their rent, you really can't be sitting and waiting for them to do it. They're always going to give you the story about how they're going to pay you or how they're going to get to it or this or that. You really need to cut these problems off before they grow. Everything that starts off as small can grow into huge and really damage you quick in this industry. So you really want to make sure that you're on top of these things.
Yeah.
And give your client that advice. Hey, my tenant hasn't paid in 15 days. What should I do? Did you talk to them? Yes. They say they're going to pay me. It might not feel like the right thing to do, but you really need to make sure that you go after the tenant to pay you the right way.
Yeah. What if they have a plan? Like, what if the tenant has a plan? Like, look, hey, I did, because life happens.
Yeah, you know? Life happens, of course.
Yeah, life happens. So if they have a plan or something like that, would you recommend, like, okay, look, give them some slack, but pay attention to what you're
doing. Give them a shot, yeah. 100%, give them a shot.
Okay.
But, you know, fool me one time, shame on me. Fool me two times, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
I know the rest of the song.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood. Okay. When it, with that being said, it's almost like, You can't afford to take your eye off the ball.
You have to watch.
You have to. And if you don't, it turns into one step after another, and then now you're way over here. You're not even on, like, you're not even going in the direction. You're actually, like, what do they call it? Backwards hustling. Like, you're basically not making money, but you're also, like, you're spending all of your profits.
Right.
And now you're going into debt to be nice or to do something that you never needed to do.
Yeah. And if you're not keeping up with the annual rental increases, say you want to give somebody a 3-year lease up front, now you just set yourself back maybe 10 to 15% compounding interest over 2 years.
Yeah.
Because you didn't decide to do an annual lease. So, you know, if you give people this advice up front, hey, when you get your lease, maybe it starts out at $1,000. Do it for 12 months because in 12 months you can renew it at 10% or 15% more.
Gotcha.
And then the same thing the following year. And if you're not keeping up with these annual rental increases, you see it all the time. You have these places that are rented for $1,000 below fair market value. Why is that? Because the landlord decided not to keep up with the annual rental increases. And then
and
you,
you set yourself back.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, you have to. And I know a lot of people don't like when their rent raises.
Nobody
likes it. Like, you mean to tell me that, you know, last year, 2 years ago, this was worth this much. I've been living here. Now, all of a sudden, it's worth more. You haven't done new things here. And nobody likes it. But at the same time, it is important on the other side to say, hey, this has to happen. Because we have clients that are both tenants and also investors. So to look at it from both sides and to be able to say, ah, you know what? I understand it needs to happen. This is the way that it goes. What happens when the prices continue to increase, but the economy is not changing to the point where they're able to afford it? So they end up having to move to a cheaper place. Is it going to end up with an economy where it's just cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper to the point where people are living in worse and worse conditions?
I think everything is going to gradually get more expensive over the years.
Yeah.
Especially in housing.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's just what happens.
Now that definitely makes sense. Definitely makes sense.
Values, rental prices,
right.
Everything, material prices, everything is going to go up.
Right.
It's the only way that it can go.
What
over
do you
the
do
long
then?
Term. What's
what,
that?
What do you do then?
Try to keep up. Try to keep up as best as you can.
Yeah.
I think at least from our perspective, it's really more so about like identifying an area that it makes sense to invest in, right? If there's one area that's getting a little bit overpopulated and it's too expensive to actually invest in said area, transition your focus and your thinking into like finding another area that it makes sense to invest in. So I'll give you a couple examples. North Carolina market within the Triangle, low cost of living. You know, you can get into like a low entry point. you know, DSCR loan or fix and flip property, whatever the case may be, and you're not killing yourself monthly in order to make, you know, the payments. And the rent is keeping up with it.
Yeah.
Ohio, Indiana, those Midwestern markets are also very good too. Might see like in the next couple of years that New Jersey, at least just as a whole, is going to be too hard to invest in just from the perspective of, okay, insurance is going up. You know, what used to cost me, you know, $900 a year for property insurance is now $1,900. Yeah. So, like, does it make sense now that my monthly payment is increased over, you know, 12 months, that impacts my cash flow? And then same thing too, you know, you purchase a property and your taxes are X and it gets reassessed at new tax rate and now it's 1.5 times the amount that it was previously. You kind of need to make sure that you're, I guess, helping yourself in that scenario, right? Like you need to think of these things before they happen.
Right. What about the person that's overly ambitious and they just want to rush into it? They don't want to do the detailed work. They don't want to do any research. They have the money. They're ready to go. They're ready to move now. They're ready to buy whatever you recommend. But they're not going to take your advice per se. They're not going to take your advice and listen to every detail. Oh, yeah, well, we'll do that later. Oh, okay. Well, you know, they're ready to cut the corners. Do you think that guy has a shot?
I'll start with this one. I think those people tend to get burned more than the people that actually do their due diligence. And I'll give you like a general example. We have a common client who was trying to purchase a fix and flip property up in Phillipsburg, up in North Jersey.
Yeah.
Waived his inspections, kind of just really, really wanted the property. He calls me 3 weeks in, you know, we're supposed to close next week, and says, "Hey, Dominic, I just want to let you know, we found an underground oil tank in the backyard.
Wow.
Need to get it removed." I'm like, "Well, your scope of work is like $50,000. You know how much it takes to remove an oil tank? And do you also know how much it's going to be to get the DEP in there to make sure that, one, it didn't leak, and two, that it's actually being removed correctly?" Well, I didn't think of that. Well, yeah. You need to think of these things. And also, too, from that perspective too, at least from an agent side, I would say waiving the inspections is a very hard thing to do.
Right.
As an investor or just as a, you know, a primary homeowner as well, you got to make sure that everything is kind of like safe and sound, right? Yeah. You're not parking your money into something that is going to like fall down in 3 years,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
That same client, he's biting off more than he can chew, or he's trying to.
Understood.
Right? I'd make a recommendation to them, something a little safer, something that I've seen work for many people, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't listen to that. Yeah. He wants to go the other way.
Yeah.
He says, "Okay, you know what? I'm going to take this property that's completely in shambles in, you know, whatever, rough area or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fix it up for $30,000.
Yeah.
Well, that's not how much it costs, not even half.
Right.
So he's biting off more than he can chew, and that's somebody that, by not listening, he'll get burnt.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, he does have experience, but he got not that kind of experience, though.
I get what you mean.
He got a little luckier with things that happened in the past, and the market treated him well. But
understood.
You can't bank on that.
Right, right. So he expected, basically, he expected everything to always be the way that it had been, and something changed.
Correct. And not everything is all sunshines and rainbows either.
No.
Right?
So every deal is different.
100%.
Every deal is different. Every time you go into a transaction, every house you buy, everything is different. Even it could be the same people. It's different. It just is. I noticed that when I run into people that they have a plan, they have an idea, whether it's real, whether it's not, whether it's good, whether it's not, you run into this and I feel like sometimes I want to stop them. Like, no, don't do this. Don't do this. This is a bad idea. Give them your best advice. You tell them, "Hey, this is how I think you should proceed. Hey, this is what this could do to you." And they still want to go forward. And I even have to tell them, because we're in a professional space, I will do whatever you want to do. Because basically, I have to.
Mm-hmm.
I have to. You know, that's what realtors, we sign up for that.
It's your fiduciary duty, yeah.
Yeah, we sign up for that. I have to, but this is not a good decision.
You have to tell them that too.
Yeah, it's not a good decision. But if you want me to do it, okay. But it's not a good decision.
And if they decide not to listen, that's, you know, they should have listened.
It's probably one of the saddest things that I experience is when I run into a client that goes forward on one of those things. And it's not like, oh, it's just my perspective. It's clearly not a good decision. It's those situations that kind of make me sad. It's like, oh, man, wish I could have done more for you. I wish, you know what I mean? But at the same time, everybody has to, they have to blaze their own trail. They have to have their own mistakes. They have to learn the lessons that they need to learn to make the best of whatever situation they're making.
They have to have the freedom to try and the freedom to fail.
There you go. There you go. So, I mean, I guess it all works out as it should.
Yeah, and maybe they learn from that. Or maybe they never try it again. But you know, as long as you're giving them your best sound advice, hey, this is what's gonna happen if you go in this direction. I recommend that you don't. If they decide not to listen, still do whatever they want you to do, because that's your obligation as their business partner in this transaction.
Yeah.
And then whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens, happens. It's a good thing when you end up helping somebody achieve their goals and accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. The best feeling I've noticed, and I've seen it with other realtors as well, you know, other professionals even. It's like when you get to see someone come back to you again and again because their business is growing. I know you know that experience. I know you know that experience.
Absolutely.
It's like, it's such a good feeling because you feel like you're on the adventure with them. You know, it's like, man, you are. Yeah, you are. And you participated in that. You helped them to get to the, you know, from A to B to C to Z, you know, on this journey. I would say, what would be a story? And this is for both of you, actually. So whichever one of you guys jumps in first, what would be a story that you could say is like, this was the most impactful journey I've been on with a client?
My aunt has been a CPA for like 25 years. Mm-hmm. Her first goal was to purchase property on an FHA loan in Perth Amboy, where, you know, she can live in one unit and somebody else can rent out the other unit. Fast forward, you know, she has that property, owns her primary in Monroe, and now just acquired a short-term rental in Cape May.
Okay.
Plans on scaling this business tenfold within the next 5 years. They say that most accountants tend to stop or not want to be a part of accounting after like 5 to 7 years because it's such a drain on like your mental health and your mental capacity. Because all they're doing is running numbers and making sure that everything makes sense every single day, especially during tax season, right?
Right.
But for her, and at least for me too, because my brother and I are kind of a part of that journey as well, we help property manage the short-term rental down in Cape May. We can kind of see up close that like she just has the drive to be able to want to succeed and build that real estate empire, from the ground up, right?
Yeah.
I think that is like the best feeling, and that's not even from like a professional standpoint. That's from more of like a personal standpoint for me, is seeing somebody that I love and I care about be able to do it. It kind of just shows me like, why can't I, right?
Right, right.
So at least for me, I think that's kind of where I can relate, that she's doing it, I can certainly do it too.
Gotcha. That's inspiring, right? Yeah. When you experience something like that, it's like it stays in your data bank. Like it stays there, like, and it adds fuel to when you are ready or when you do decide to pull the trigger and say, hey, I'm gonna go ahead and do this or I'm gonna launch this. You remember that mentally, emotionally, like you can always draw back on that.
100%. And the one tip that I would say is that you gotta be all in, because if you're not all in, then you're kind of just like, you know, you're like tiptoeing around, and that doesn't work. You're not going to be successful in that aspect if you're not all the way in.
No. Half in anything has never worked for me.
Right.
Every time I've ever tried to do something, if I'm not all in it, what ends up happening is literally either failure, frustration, or just ultimately not accomplishing what I could have accomplished had I just done it at full speed.
100%.
Yeah.
It's just a distraction at that point, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, you take on hobbies and it's like hobbies are cool, but they don't really go anywhere. It's like yeah. I'm running
and
in
they
place.
Don't pay the bills either.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The most profound change I've probably ever seen in a client was actually a mutual client of ours, two of them. When we first started working with them, they were a referral from one of my top clients.
Right.
And they started out with no properties whatsoever.
Okay. Right?
They started out like that. In a matter of a year, how many did they buy? Like 12 or 13 multifamily buildings?
Wow.
The cash flow that I know that they were getting was ridiculous. I've seen them go through trials and tribulations dealing with more things than you could probably imagine. Trials and tribulations and doing this from a different state and managing everything and getting things done and getting tenants in there and continue to just keep up with everything that's going on. And they're professionals at this point in a very, very short span of time. We've seen somebody go from starting with capital mm-hmm. to now they have a mini empire. Wow. I wouldn't even call it mini. They definitely are sitting on something solid.
Yeah.
And now they're professional. And that is impactful.
So you helped them go from ground zero, took them to basically building that empire that they came in the door wanting to build.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know what was so powerful about that? The reason they were able to do that and do it with such precision and do it so quick, their property management experience.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they have that experience under their belt,
right.
They were able to come in the door, get things at the right numbers, right? We gave them the right numbers. They were able to make things work, get it rented at the right rates, get the right contractors in there. Sometimes they had to go through trials and tribulations with that. But get the right things done, the right inspections. They had everything they needed.
Right.
Right? And then they really took control over it. They got on top of it. They were on everything. They are.
Yeah.
They manage everything. They really pay attention. They make good decisions. They never skip an inspection. They always make the right decision. And that's how, in such a short period of time, they're sitting on double-digit multifamily properties.
I mean, and who wouldn't want that? If you could make the best possible decisions to lead you to building an empire for yourself, your family, your team, whoever it is that you're in alignment with, who wouldn't want that?
Exactly.
Ultimately. That's great that you guys were able to take them there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely a good feeling, I have to say.
Yeah. They're doing it again right now.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Where are they starting?
What town?
Yeah.
Down south in Cumberland County.
Okay. So that's something to look forward to.
Always.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? I don't want to miss an opportunity just to give anybody who comes across this some knowledge, wisdom, or wealth. Anything else that you would want to share with people aside from hire me today? No, I'm just playing. Aside from that.
Don't wait. Don't hesitate.
Yeah.
If it's something that you want to do, jump into it. Yeah. Really jump into it.
You have to.
Get your feet wet. Don't wait. Make a calculated decision. And it's not timing the market. It's time in the market. Mm. The longer you're in it, the sooner you get in it, the longer you stay in it, the better off you're going to be in the long run.
Got you. Okay.
I think mine's a little different. I think I would say take all of your, you know, learning lessons, go to the meetups, talk to people, ask questions, surround yourself with a good team and good individuals that, you know, will definitely help you grow. And then also to get yourself organized, get your ducks in a row, make sure that you have the assets, you have the entity paperwork ready to go, you have the title company, you have the insurance, you identify the property. That's the big one, right?
Yeah.
Make sure that you're all in. Right. You need to be all in. Like that's kind of the main message, at least.
You do have to be all in. You have to be all in anything that you do. You need energy, you need enthusiasm, you need the will to wake up and to do it and to keep doing it and to do it when it's hard and to do it when you don't feel like it. You need all of that. And if you don't have that, you're not really going to get, you're not going to be doing yourself you'll be doing yourself a disservice.
You can't half-ass anything in this industry. No. You got to whole-ass everything.
Yeah, you do.
Really?
You do. Because anything that you don't do at 100% is only going to come back, and it's like, ah, oh, why did I do that? Oh, man, I should have. And you're going to start doubting yourself, second-guessing yourself, and then asking too many different people the same thing. And then you're going to end up doing what this person would have done because they're an investor like you, but you're trying to do your own. Like, you're going to lose yourself.
Not every path is the same, you know? That's the big thing, too.
Right.
Take everybody's advice. Take everybody's opinions. But you got to just, you know, get on the ground and just hit the ground running.
It's got to be advice. Yeah. It's got to be an opinion. It can't be, hey, I'm going to take what they do and I'm going to do that. You can't duplicate anybody else's process.
Nope. No.
No. I don't have any clients that are exactly the same. Do you?
That are exactly the same?
Nah. Yeah.
No, but a lot of them rhyme.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So a lot of people want, they want the same thing. They have the same goal. Especially for investment, they want to make money.
Right.
Makes sense. But all of them, you know, underneath the hood, they're all different.
All different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sure it's the same with you.
I mean, especially because most of our clients are, you know, generally the same, right? But yeah, it's everybody's wired a little bit differently, right? But the end goal is to make money and to have that financial freedom.
Right.
So as long as you can accomplish both of those things, then it doesn't really matter how you get there, right?
Gotcha. The last episode, we had a conversation and I basically said, you know, any type of a client, when you're bringing together, you know, the people that help you, it's like calling in the Avengers, right? You want to make sure you have this certain team of people. So what would be the team that you think that a person needs to have in order to effectively and to successfully become an investor, start investing, or to continue to invest?
Okay, so I would start by, like, somebody who doesn't even know an agent or a lender or anybody.
Yeah, what's the core team that they should have?
Number one, you should have a friend that's done it.
Okay.
And if you don't, go find somebody. Go to the meetups or something like that.
Right.
Ask them what they did.
Got it.
And how they did it. Maybe could they point you in the right direction.
Right.
Right? And then if they point you in with their agent, that agent will then connect you with the other people that you need to know.
Gotcha.
And if you tell the agent, hey, I want to use the same person as my friend did. Okay, great. We're going to put you in touch with Dominic.
Okay.
We want to use the same title company as my friend did. Great. And then you can kind of use their team.
Gotcha.
And when you use their team, you've seen that it's tried and true and that it works.
Yeah.
You want to start with talking to somebody that you know has done it and has had some success.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them what they did or who to start with.
Yeah.
And that's most likely going to be their agent.
Got you.
Right?
Got
so you. Once they put you in touch, then just tell that agent, hey, listen, whatever you did for my friend, do the same thing for me. I want all the same people. I want all the same inspectors. I want all the same everybody, same contractor. And if you do that, the team is tried and true. It's had success in the past and most likely it will again in the future.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate it. And what about you?
I mean, I guess just to piggyback off of it too, from a lender's perspective, right? It's always good to get yourself within the numbers first before you go to the realtor, right? Maybe identify the areas that you kind of want to look in, but come to the lender and say, hey, this is how much I have to spend. Now I can go back to Austin and say, hey, this person has this much buying power. They want to be doing these kind of projects. You know, where can we point them in the right direction?
Right.
Then it's kind of a, you know, situation where we say, okay, we're going to go use this title company. We're going to use this insurance agent. We're going to use this property manager if you are planning on investing out of state.
Right.
Contractor, you need to have somebody on call and ready to go. If something were to go to hell tomorrow, right, is there somebody that can also, like, kind of help you in the sense that, like, hey, I need, you know, liquid funds too. You know, some people have, like, a true private money lender that is, like, ready to just sign the check and say, here, you use it how you need to use it. Probably good to have that in the back pocket as well, too.
Right.
So the team is very important, and the team will only help you grow and create that empire of kind of like what we were talking about before.
Yeah. This was a conversation with a lot to unpack, and we hit a lot of different topics. We're going to have to do this at least 2 more times.
100%. We're ready to go.
It's going to have to be one of those conversations. Thank you very much. I appreciate you both.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Man.